attention, please. Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Israel Abel Yadiah Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
My name is Sonny Israel Abel Zephania Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It is a privilege and honor to introduce to you the sons and daughters you usually able now entering the sanctuary. And now I'd like to turn it over to Sonny Israel Abel Yahab Hawkins.
When you may be seated, and the peace of Yah be each and every one of you. The sound of my speech is, live forever, you must obey. Obey means to follow instructions the first time given. Do what you're told with a willing attitude. Please turn to Proverbs 22, verse 6, found on page 510. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. How do we know which way we are going? Yahweh gave us an instruction. Please turn to Genesis 2, verse 16. Through 17, found on page 2. And Yahweh commanded the man, saying, But of the tree of knowledge, righteousness, and evil, you must not eat, for in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. From the beginning, Yahweh set before mankind the option to choose between right and wrong. Blessings if we obey, curses if we do not obey. Please turn to Ephesians 6 verse 1 through 3, found on page 919. Children, obey your parents in Yahweh, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Yahweh will give us authority if we obey. When we make the choice to always obey the first time, we keep ourselves from harm and danger. Remember Yahshua 24:15 says, for me and my husband will serve Yahweh. Let's make the choice to be obedient. May Yahweh bless your understanding. Now I'd like to turn the sun to Israel for prayer.
Son of Yishael Abel, Deacon Yishael Abel Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech today is Humility is the Way. May the PCR be with each and every one of you. The word humble means not proud or haughty, not arrogant or assertive. Now, Pastor Yishael Hawkins, last week he gave us a definition of the word humility, and he said, a quality, a state of mind and heart. Remember, you got to love Yahweh with all your heart, soul, and might. He said, of being humble to the work. Remember, Yochanan 6:63. If you all could turn there. Yochanan 6 and verse 63, or not verse 63, verse 29. Found on page 821 in the book of Yahweh, and it says, Yahshua answered and said to them, this is the work of Yahweh, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So humble yourself to the work, and that's the first step to a place in Yahweh's kingdom. Remember Matthew 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness. So it's got to be first in our life. So humble means not proud. Let's turn over to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13. And look at verse 10. And it says here, this is found on page 504, Proverbs 13, verse 10. Pride only breeds contention, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Pride only breeds contention and rivalry. That's what pride brings. Now, Yahshua said, humble yourself like a little child. And Proverbs says that wisdom is found in those who take advice. If you're proud and arrogant, you're not going to take advice because you already have your mind set that you know the way, you know the right thing. So you're not going to take advice if you're proud or arrogant. As Yeshua said, you have to be humble like a little child. And this is the example that Yeshua said as a little child, as Pastor covered last week in Luke. Yeshua was seeking information and education at the feet of the priests who were there at that time. In Leviticus chapter 26, in verse 19, it says, I will break down your stubborn pride and make the sky above you like iron and your earth like brass. Now, we need to get it out of us, the pride. We need to become the least in our minds. Build others up. Remember, we have to be servants. Build others up ahead of us and always build the house of Yahweh in everything that we say and in everything that we do. Remember, everything we say and do is a lesson to someone. We have to make sure we're setting the right example for everyone around us. In the first book of Israel, chapter 14, chapter 14, verse 23, Pastor says here, let's just rehearse a little in your mind. Yeshua said the following about humbling yourself. Matithiah 18:1. At that time, the disciples came to Yeshua, asking, who is the greatest in the kingdom of Yahweh? And Yeshua called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted, notice you are not even converted until you can do this thing and become as little children. You will not enter the kingdom of Yahweh. He didn't say you would be given a lesser position in the kingdom or something like that. He just simply says you are not going to be there, period. Unless you can convert yourself and humble yourself as this little child, you simply will not be in the kingdom. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom. Looking down to the middle of verse 26 in this chapter, it says, humbling yourself to listening to this lowly Oki who speaks an unknown language to you, sometimes in an unknown vocabulary, that is whom Yahweh chose. You are going to have to do it, or as Yeshua said, you simply won't be in the kingdom. If you buck up against the priest, Yahweh shows what will take place. It's a death sentence to do so. Remember, Yahweh commands us, he tells us to go to the priest. Go to the priest and then do what they tell you to do. Don't go to the right or to the left. Verse 27 here, what Yeshua was actually speaking of was being too proud to humble yourself and do what the priest told you to do. You will sit there with your mind already made up. If you leave in that way, you will leave on the same path, which only leads to hell. You will not be able to get off of it if you pass this up. You cannot keep on this path right here to hell and expect to make it into the kingdom of heaven. You have to get rid of the pride that is keeping you from the kingdom. So that's where pride leads. It's not going to get you a position in the kingdom of Yahweh. As Yeshua said, you simply won't be there. The only way to go is to humble yourself. This is verse 30 in the book of Israel. The only way to go is to humble yourself and admit that Yahweh is smarter than you. You need to let him do this thing through you, turn you around, and then he can use you in his kingdom. You will not be able to buck up and pride yourself when you make it into the kingdom either. He is going to know your heart and know you were trying to work as a pretense, as Yeshua said. So it won't be allowed in the kingdom. Pastor told us that rebellion is one of the worst sins. Rebellion, pride, those things will not be allowed in the kingdom, because as Proverbs 13 verse 10 said, it only breeds contention. So we have to humble ourselves like a little child and be a servant. Pastor said in the 7th book of Israel, he said the way to become great is to humble yourself like a little child. And the one who humbles himself the most and becomes the servant of all, he is great. So that's how we become great, by lowering ourselves, being servants, being humble servants, like the example that Yeshua set for us. And my last quote from the book of Israel, this is the 10th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 18, verse 5. Pastor says, now is the time to humble yourself and get in unity with Yahweh's priest. That's the only way you can have salvation. In fact, there's no other way. Rebellion is simply not going to make it. Rebellion is as witchcraft with Yahweh. It's not going to be in the kingdom. So let's keep these things in mind, being humble servants. Remember the theme for the feast. We need to be servants, just like the example that Yeshua set for us in the greatest servant, Yahweh, you know, constantly serving us, serving mankind. And with that, if you'll all please stand. I have the honor and privilege to present to you the next speaker, the great Khan Benjamin Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. I'm going to pick up right where the great deacon left off. And we're going to talk about one of these forms of rebellion that we're getting rid of right now, that the Catholic Church propagated. We're going to continue on this Gregorian calendar. Last week we talked about, you know, we start learning about this great red dragon. We're going to continue here. It says, first of all, everybody does know that the calendar is out, right, and available. And the new Prophetic Word magazine. Let's start with this gematria. I need you to write these three numbers down. Just go ahead and write them all down right now. 433. This is Gregorian calendar. 433, 912, and 152. We're going to be going through each of these numbers. Let's start with 433. And it means God. Well, of course, right? Isn't that what Gregory propagated, these gods? The deity, it means God. And it says false God, but brothers and sisters, there are no false gods. They're all real. They're gods, okay? Yahweh's not a god, okay? That's where they get mixed up. And it's from 410, and it means God, goodly, idol. And it means, it's from this word El, E-L. It also means mighty men, men of rank, and mighty heroes, like the Herodians. You know that word Herodians, if you just look it up, it means heroes. Okay, that's what Herodians means. They're the mighty men, you know, from Genesis, the mighty ones. The word Gregory, by the way, I know this has been brought before, but I'm going to remind you. The word Gregory is a Latin word, and it comes from this Greek word Gregorios, meaning watchful or alert. And it's from this word Gregorian, meaning to watch. To watch. Please write that down. Watch. To watch. The next number on the gematria is 912. Now, Hebrew 912, Barabbas, y'all remember him, right? You know, they're still choosing Barabbas in these last days, I noticed. You know, they don't want the righteous to rule. They're still choosing unrighteousness. Right here, it's from 1347. It means son of a father or master. We all know what master is, Lord. It's from 1347. Now, the great deacon just got done talking about this subject of humility, right? Well, here's the opposite. Arrogant, pomp, pride, proud, swelling. Exaltation, pride of God. Pride, arrogance, in a bad sense. Okay, but first of all, see, they try to make out like pride, there's a good sense too, a righteous sense, right? No, pride is not anything you want, okay? Get it out of your vocabulary. It's not going to be welcome in Yahweh's kingdom. You know, they say swallow your pride. I say spit it out. Don't swallow it. It's unclean. Okay, and it's from 1342, and it means to rise up, to be exalted, to rise up, grow up, be lifted up. From 1346, highness, pride, proud, arrogance, etc. Now, remember, I just told you the number, these first two numbers we went over, these two numbers. So turn now to page 912 in your book of Yahweh. Remember this inspired, beautiful book of Yahweh right here, right? You can't do this in the King James. You can only do it in the book of Yahweh, so get one. We're going to go to Galatians chapter 4, speaking about the sacred pole and this calendar. The way that the world is setting their feast. Let's look at Galatians 4, verse 8, at the bottom, on page 912. It says, do not worship gods in any way. Okay, this is the lesson we're learning about God worship. It says, but then indeed, when you did not know Yahweh, you were in bondage to that which by nature are nothing but gods. But now, knowing Yahweh, or having been known by Yahweh, why do you return to the powerless gods and bow down to sacred poles? You know, why do you follow this Gregorian calendar? Because that's what they're following. They're bowing to the sacred pole. The very sacred pole that Pastor wrote about in this book written in 1988, Deceptions Concerning Yahweh's Calendar of Events. Can you back up a little bit? There you go. I want them to see that because there is a sacred pole right there. They call the sacred pole. There ain't nothing sacred about that thing. That's a filthy, abominable thing that we're getting out of, completely getting rid of, out of the house of Yahweh completely. Isn't that a great blessing, brothers and sisters? Okay, it's back to the reading on page 912, 913 now, on I'm going to read verse 9 again. But now, knowing Yahweh or having been known by Yahweh, why do you return to the powerless gods and bow down to sacred poles? Why do you want to be in bondage to them again? From this you watch. Remember, Gregorian, watch. From this you watch for feast days in deviation from this right here. Yahweh's sacred calendar. Okay, you see that? Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, can you back up? Look at that beautiful. Here's the calendar. This is wonderful. The house of Yahweh joyfully celebrates returning to the original tree of life, not the tree of death. Remember, we're getting rid of the gods. They're not welcome here. Okay, so he says, I'm afraid for you that I have labored over you to no purpose. Okay, now let's look at the third number here. Word number 152. It's number 152, Gregorian calendar. 152, it's Adrammelech, and it means Adar is prince. Adar, an Assyrian idol. It's from 142. It means to be great. Now, if you know anything about the Hebrew calendar, I'm not talking about our calendar, but the Hebrew calendar. You know, the one that they follow that's mixed with the sun and the moon worship. You see here, the astrology, the zodiac. Notice, their month of, I don't even like saying them anymore. You can read that. It corresponds with this Gregorian calendar of these months right here, the second and third month of the year. And it's the word Adar. And it's from these two words, 4428, it means king. And it's from 4427, it means to take counsel and consult. Now turn over to Deuteronomy 18:9. Deuteronomy 18, I'll give you a page number, on page 162. Deuteronomy 18:9 says, when you come into the land Yahweh your father is giving you. Now listen to this. We're fixing to fulfill these very things right here. You're going to be greatly amazed this feast, okay? It says, when you come into the land Yahweh your father is giving you, do not learn to follow the abominable ways of those nations. Let there not be found among you one who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, you know, letting them watch television, war, and play war games, giving them over to war, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, casts spells, or who consults familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Anyone who practices these is abominable to Yahweh, and because of these, the other nations are being put out. And that word necromancer, I know I've brought this before, it's word number 825 in Strong's, and it means an astrologer, a necromancer, conjurer, astrologer. You know, in this book, Deceptions Concerning Yahweh's Calendar of Events, if you look on page 28, there's a warning against the use of astrology in setting feast dates. Okay, and that's what this calendar, this Gregorian calendar, is all about. It's about astrology. It has nothing to do with going out and looking for the green ears, you know, getting off your lazy duff, going outside and actually observing something instead of a television, right? You're actually going to have to get up, go outside and look. And then once you spot the green ears, the following new moon, right? And you can read all about this on page 28 and 80 through 11 in Deceptions. Pastor wrote all about this. Excuse me. Okay. Let me continue. Now, necromancy, if you remember, that's something you don't want to have any part of, right? 666. Now, go to Isaiah 47. Let's turn to Isaiah 47, where there's another admonition. Isaiah 47, found on page 560. Let's look at verse 13, or 12. Stand fast now with your enchantments, speaking to these divining serpents on the seven hills. Stand fast now with your enchantments and the multitude of your sorceries in which you have labored from your youth. It may be that you will succeed. It may be you will prevail. Cause terror. You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Let now the astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly prognosticators, you know, the ones that like to give you horoscopes to read, stand up and save you from these things which will come upon you. Here's what you get when you read the horoscopes. You want any part of that? Should pass over those completely. They have nothing to do with Yahweh. 666. The last definition of 152 from the Greek, it means to be ashamed. A thing to be ashamed of. And it's used in Hebrews 12:2. Let's go there. Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Talking about this race we're running. Is everybody keeping up? All right, we're almost at the finish line, okay? Let's run this race with endurance, it says. In verse 2 says, looking to Yahshua, the first who was led and perfected by the faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the sacrifice, despising the shame, despising this God here, this sun god, the Lord. Okay, he despised them. How did he do that? He didn't sin. Okay? That's how we despise the shame, this Lord here, the sun god. We despise him by getting rid of the calendar, the Gregorian calendar. Isn't this wonderful? We're doing what Yahshua did. He had no part of this. He had no part of this world. Okay? We're coming out of this world completely. Now, speaking of astrologers, you may have heard of this guy. His name was Christopher Clavius. Kind of sounds like Columbus. That's kind of interesting. But he was a German Jesuit. That should tell you something. He was a German Jesuit mathematician and astronomer and astrologer. He's the one that proposed the modification of the modern Gregorian calendar. Isn't that comforting to know the Jesuit worked on it for you? Wow. He was from Bamberg, Bavaria, in the Holy Roman Empire. The Roman Papal States. You remember Papal States 666? You know? And he was German. Now, let's add it all up. What does this all add up to? Remember the numbers I gave you, told you to write down? Let's add it all up. 433, 912, and 152 is 1497. Turn to Revelation 22. In your inspired book of Yahweh, Revelation 22, verse 15. It says, for outside are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers, outside the gates. Outside are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and worshipers of gods, Gregorians, who watch in deviation from Yahweh's sacred feast. Look at this on the side note here, where it says, worshipers of gods. Lo and behold, 1497 means God worshiper, a worshiper of Elohim, and a heathen. Worship of the heathen gods, they call it, but Yahweh's not a god, okay? Now, 1497, it does mean gods. It's from 1491, and if you remember, in 1491 BY, where did Yahweh lead the children of Israel out of? Yeah, out of God worship, out of Egypt, 1491 BY in your book of Yahweh. And it's from 1497, from 1491. And remember, don't get caught up with this false God thing. It's not false, it's real. It's a real God, okay? Okay, now it's from 1491 means it's from 1492, appearance, fashion, shape, and sight. From 1492. And this has a lot of meanings. I'm just going to show you these couple. Consider, perceive. Also, discover. Discover. You remember Columbus? Sent by the dragon's house. Wait till you see what Yahweh has unveiled through the house of Yahweh about the house of the dragon that sent this man, Columbus, to America. It is going to blow your mind, okay? But is there anything that Yahweh isn't showing us that isn't blowing your mind at this time? Isn't Yahweh wonderful? You know, this is to me, it's the most beautiful thing, seeing this new calendar, getting rid of these gods out of our mouths, out of our hearts and minds. This is so beautiful right here. Everybody, please get a copy. And if you're on the outlying areas, you know, get online, download it quickly, study it. There's so much in here to study. And Pastor is going to be teaching us all about this new beautiful calendar that we've been blessed with just in time for this feast coming up. That's going to be the most marvelous, incredible feast ever. Okay, so everybody get ready. And at this time, if you'd all please stand. It is my great privilege and opportunity to turn it over to the great Kohen Yehuda Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. While we're getting everybody getting all organized here, take your book of Yahweh, turn to page 581. Page 581 in your book of Yahweh. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures, and we're going to read a scripture that hasn't been mentioned very often. Yahweh permitting. Page 581, we're going to look at Yeremia 9, verse 9. Yeremia 9, verse 9. The scripture reads, should I not punish them for this? All this God worship that the people are doing, the nations are doing, and the nations, and of course Satan, the leader, are trying to get put back into the house of Yahweh, so it won't be the house of Yahweh, just another church or synagogue. Should I not punish them? And of course, Yahweh's really sitting here having a temper tantrum, huffing and puffing and griping. Says Yahweh, should I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? I can just see how they think he's saying, I'll get you, you dirty rat, or something like that. I mean, that's how illogical it gets. But the word punish that is written in Jeremiah 9, verse 9, is translated from the Hebrew word Afakad. This word is listed on page 1145 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius I, But shows this word means to divide or split asunder. That doesn't mean to tear apart. It means to move people, separate the wheat from the chaff type thing. For the purpose of judging. The word avenge, one more word. The word not you see in this scripture, it's in here twice. It's from, this normally is translated from the Hebrew word la, occasionally al. It's lamed aleph or aleph lamed. Aleph lamed also is that which is nothing, which we know is just a plain old God. But this word, in any Hebrew dictionary or lexicon will tell you, Brown, Driver, and Briggs is one of the better ones. It's in the first part of the book. It points out that these words are written in this Hebrew like this with the intention to make this sentence appear to be a question. In Hebrew, there are no question marks like you see in English. A period is just a double dot like a colon. And what they do, they put these in there in a certain key spot to show it is asking a question. Should I not punish them for this, says Yahweh? Shouldn't I do this to these people? They're such bums. Should I not avenge it? I'm going to get back at them, those dirty rats, and that type of thing. It makes it Yahweh look like he's got a temper and he has a tantrum every 5 minutes. But the word not is important. That word not shows that he is asking questions here. The word avenge myself that are written in Jeremiah 9 verse 9 are translated from the Hebrew word tatanakam. This word is listed on page 753 of volume 5 of the Dictionary of Classic Hebrew by David Kleins, who shows this word means judgments of Yahweh. So what this is what Jeremiah 9 verse 9 is saying. Should they not be judged for this, says Yahweh? Should a nation such as this not be brought to judgment? And if you remember, the scripture says, after all these things, then there is the judgment. Now for our next scripture, please turn to pages 535 and 536. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 9, verses 16 through 17. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 16 through 17. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 16 through 17. The question is, is not Yahweh not going to cause the judgment to come upon these people? He's not going to slam them. He's simply going to, the heavenly court is going to come to a decision and everything. And the answer, of course, is yes, they are going to be judged. But this one said, for the leaders of the people cause them to err. And they are guided by them who, and those, then they who are guided by them are destroyed. Now, this doesn't mean Yahweh's destroying them. It means they're destroying themselves. And that's what occurred. Look at all the people that have been killed in war. The soldiers, the civilians, they pass it off hypocritically as, what is it, collateral damage? I mean, it's just one thing after another. But the whole bottom war is, we are for peace, but they are for war, says the psalmist. They are destroyed. The people who lead the world, they lead their own people to destruction. Therefore, Yahweh will have no joy in their young men, nor will he have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly, deceitful and evil. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. In other words, he's going to choke you or something like that, or whatever his mind comes to thinking. It makes Yahweh look like he's that vengeful God, and only Jesus Christ can save you from Yahweh. The word Yahweh that is written in Isaiah 9, verse 17, it traces back to the Hebrew word Yahweh. This word is listed on page 338 of volume 1 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, which shows this word means to come to pass. The words, his anger, that are written in Isaiah 9, verse 17, are translated from the Hebrew word afu. This word is listed on pages 353 and 354 of volume 1 of the Dictionary of Classical Hebrew by David Kleins, which shows this word means to do or carry out Yahweh's judgments. So what Isaiah 9, verses 16 and 17 is saying is this: for the leaders of the people cause them to err, and they who are guided by them are destroyed. It is pointed out that only one pope in the Christian church, just one, caused 70 deadly wars. 70. Just because a couple of kings were arguing with him. That's from The Dark Side of the Papacy by Peter de Rosa. He was a Jesuit that left the order and got married. So this is what Isaiah 9 verses 16 and 7 is actually saying. For the leaders of the people cause them to err, and they who are guided by them are destroyed. The people that are all killed in the wars. Therefore it will come to pass there will be no joy in their young men, nor will they have mercy on their fatherless and widows. They think they've done their Christmas duty to give somebody a plate full of food. Merry Christmas. Well, what about the other 364 days of the year? Big stinking deal, huh? But that's the way it is. For the leaders of the people cause them to err, and they who are guided by them are destroyed. Therefore it will come to pass there will be no joy in their young men, nor will they have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is an hypocrite and an evildoer. For it is written, they're none righteous, no, not one. And every mouth speaks folly, deceitfulness, and evil. Yet for all this, the carrying out of Yahweh's judgments will not be turned away, nor will he reach out to them anymore. Remember, it says he's going to turn away from them. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 32. I will sit back and see what's going to occur to them. I'm not going to help them. I remember a pastor saying one time that he will help anyone in this congregation. But if you walk out that front gate never to come back, he won't do a thing for you. And Yahweh says the same thing. We have people here who are veterans, not of military service, but of the evil Satan has done to them. We have people here who have survived strokes, heart attacks, beatings, whippings, lies, deceit, every horrible thing you can think of that Yob or Yashub went through. There's somebody here that went through it like he did. At least one terrible thing. And yet they're still here. Every one of them. Yahweh did not turn away from them. Yahweh helped them. And that's what it's all about. But when it's talking about Yahweh turning away from people, the thing that must be understood is, the point is, if something terrible occurs to these people out there, or anyone who fell away, some have died, one recently, and I'm sure that pastor or one of the priests gets blamed for it, we usually do, or the whole congregation, because we wouldn't listen to them. The point of the matter is, though, there are men of Yahweh that realized this type of foolishness. It wasn't Yahweh's fault. It wasn't the priest's fault. It isn't your fault. They realized the fault lay with those that listened to Satan. In the book of Daniel, don't turn there, but just write Daniel, he said, we have brought these things on ourselves. When Yahweh turns away, men of Yahweh have all realized it and eventually came to the conclusion, we brought this on ourselves. Daniel said, we brought this on ourselves. He talked about it a little bit. But the prophet Isaiah talked about it a lot. If you turn to page 399, we're going to read some of the admissions that the great prophet Isaiah said. This is Ezra chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, 10 through 11, and 13 through 15. Listen to what he says. O our Father, we are too ashamed and humiliated to lift our faces up to you because we listened to Satan and we messed up. O Yahweh, because our sins have multiplied until they are higher than our heads. They came to full measure, in other words, and our guilt has risen up to the heavens. Or as one prophet said, it really stinks. From the days of our fathers to this day, we have remained in guilt. And because of our sins, we, our kings and our priests, have been given into the hands of the kings of the lands. They were oppressed by the governments of the world, whether it's a king, a prime minister, a president, a legislature, they all listened to Satan. To the sword. Look at all the wars. To captivity. To be slaves in many cases. Slavery knows no color. Always remember that. To plunder. And to humiliation and ridicule. Do you know one of the most popular words for the house of Yahweh is? Nut house. As it is to this day. Verse 10. And now, O Yahweh, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken your commandments. Isn't that the first thing somebody wants to do when they leave here? They don't want to quit committing adultery. They don't want to quit getting drunk. They don't want to quit taking drugs. Maybe they want to go back to eating pork. Or at least eating that steak from that store that just got fed dead pig, which you have commanded through your servants the prophets, saying, the land you are entering to possess is an unclean land, polluted by the people of the lands and their abominations which have filled it with their uncleanness and impurity from one end to the other. Has not Pastor said that over and over? Now, after all that has come upon us because of our evil deeds and because of our great guilt for you, O Yahweh, have rejected us less than our iniquities deserve, and have given us this great deliverance, which is going to come. Can any of you say, I know I've said it myself, but I believe every one of you would say the same thing. Can any of you honestly say you wouldn't say if something occurred and Yahweh decided, I'm going to strike him down? Now Yahweh says he won't do that. He wants you to repent. So he's not going to pound you into the earth to make you repent. He's going to convince you or talk you into it in his own way. And if he hadn't succeeded talking you into it, you wouldn't be here. But the point of the matter is, many of us have suffered horrible things that occurred to us. And how many of us blame someone else? What did we say? It was our fault. We're the ones that made the mistakes. And that's the whole thing. And we said, I said to myself, Yahweh, I don't even know why he picked me. And when something occurred to me, I said, I don't blame him. He should have done it sooner. But then that was a long time ago when I still thought that Yahweh would, in his own way, put us down. He doesn't. He just, if you sin, he walks away. That's what we're trying to say. Which you have commanded, the laws, which your commandments, which you have commanded through your servants, the prophets, saying, the land is all that horrible thing. Now, after all this has come to pass because of our evil deeds and because of our great guilt for you, have rejected us less. In other words, even though we think he should have been a lot harder on us, it says he has rejected us less than our iniquities deserve and have given us this great deliverance. Shall we again break your commandments and join in marriage with the people who commit these abominations? Are we still going to go out there in the world to find a wife? Would you not be angry with us enough to completely destroy us, leaving us without a remnant or a survivor? No, he just said, I won't have anything to do with you until you repent. O Yahweh, Father of Israel, you are righteous. For we are this day an escaped remnant. We stand in front of you in our guilt, yet no one can abide in your presence because of this. Have not every one of us more or less said this same thing to Yahweh? Because we all said, no, we will go and sin no more. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And at this time, I turn this over to the great Kohen Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. You know, in discussing the things that we see in our world today, and of course, this world is of mass confusion. Everyone saying they have a better way, but no one really has an answer or a solution. And of course, they had here recently a lot of things that they were saying taking place on this, the pagan worship of Valentine Day. Now, they were measuring and they were saying it was such a great success. Now, they didn't really measure it as far as love, but love for money maybe. But they were showing how successful this pagan ritual was due to the amount of money brought in. There was 1.4 more billion brought in this year than last year. Now, think about how many people don't even keep this holiday. Holy day, unholy day is what it should be. But they said it averaged $143 per person. Think about the amount of money spent. You know, and they said it was on candy and jewelry and things like that, flowers. But nothing really comes of that day. In fact, there's, you know, a lot of death, a lot of discussion, a lot of argument still taking place because of what is saying had occurred that day in Florida. But also in the news this week, and it's something very important to address. Spoke about it a little last week, want to talk about it more this week, because it's really in the news, and it's talking about school shooting conspiracies, where they say a lot of these school shootings are not taking place, but it's really crisis actors that are drumming it up to try to come against the NRA or to take your guns away or to come against the Second Amendment. And last week I said, I would, you know, go up and ask our missionary team what they're seeing because students are dying. Suicides are real in schools. Now, are school shootings taking place or are they fake? To be honest with you, that doesn't affect the agenda of the House of Yahweh or the Peaceful Solution. Our job is to go out and show them how to choose life. Praise Yahweh. You know, we don't want to get caught into something saying, did Yahweh say that you would die if you do that? No. Think of the things you've seen about Yisrael Hawkins in the news that are lies and are fake. What if they get to the point to where they come against him or the House of Yahweh? Nuclear war being fake. Well, we know in the House of Yahweh that we're supposed to put on the full armor of Yahweh, and that is studying to show ourselves approved, to search out the book of Yahweh and read. We know that the wages of sin are death, and we know that we are servants to whom we obey. And Deuteronomy tells us very clearly that we are to choose life by righteousness, or we will receive death by destruction. Well, in this world today, we see a lot of death. And when I say children are dying in the schools, I want to explain what I mean by that. We know there's suicides taking place. We meet with guidance counselors, and there's other things that we can bring at a later time about families that are suffering horrific things that our Peaceful Solution team deal with at this time. And maybe later the families themselves will come and tell you the horrific things that occurred to their families, which are more than my mind can comprehend as being done to people. But I also want you to think, when we go into a school, we went into the last school, as we were walking through the hallways, I always listen to the guidance counselors and I look at the hallways. I want to see what they're doing in the school. You learn more about what the school is going, what's going on in the school by reading what's in the hallways. That's what they're putting in the minds of the students. And of course, the first thing they had was a raffle for the king and queen of Valentine's Day in a middle school, forming these couples. Now, a lot of guidance counselors would tell us when we go in, our students are active. And if you don't know what I mean by active, read Leviticus 18. That's the active they're talking about. But no one's telling them to stop. Why is there 20 million more STDs in our schools every year, in our society every year? When I was walking down the hallway, I smelt the most disgusting smell I've ever smelt, and it was lunchtime. And the students were running. I heard one of the students go, "We got barbecued pork today." What do you think that's doing to the students in school? Do you think they're living or dying? the system that's generated of our school could be beneficial if Yahweh was involved, if the peaceful solution was involved. But without that, you don't need school shootings to have people dying. They're dying on their own. But I want to show you something real quick and think about this conspiracy. This was from last year. Well, it says from last year. It's really 2015. That would have been the last year it come in. Heart disease, 633,842 died. Cancer, 595,930 died. You know there's websites that you can find that'll say both of those are fake? That it really is not taking place? Notice, here we have suicides. Right here at the bottom, 44,193. Now, that sounds like something that's pretty bad. Well, we all know where that comes from. It comes from Leviticus 18. And, of course, not eating of clean foods. But one thing they leave out. Notice in 2014, there were 652,639 induced, legally, notice the word legally, induced abortions that were reported from 49 reporting areas. Now, this is very important because look what's left out. When you get into it, right here, if we can zoom into that, it says 2013 is the most recent year for which CDC has released statistics. The reporting areas are the District of Columbia, New York City, and 47 states, excluding California, Maryland, and New Hampshire. Now, when you get into this, you have the population clock, and if you notice, it says that every one birth every 8 seconds, one death every 11 seconds. Remember, Pastor brought out years ago, that's going to flip. One day we're going to see more deaths than births. Well, it's important when reading this that you check to see what's going on and how they collect their information. When you ask about abortions, well, this Census Bureau does not collect this data. They don't consider abortions in their death rate. But when you throw in that there's one baby aborted every 26 seconds, notice, 100,516 babies are aborted every month, and we're having news talk about the death of 17 people, but we have hundreds of thousands of people dying. When you throw in this death rate, death is higher than birth. The death rate has already exceeded when you look at abortions. This is what we're combating as part of the peaceful solution in the house of Yahweh. This is what we're not by sword, you know, not by might. You know, I know people are talking about, well, they're trying to take your guns away. You might want to go back and read Isaiah 2:2, and this is for people out in the world. 2:2, 3, and 4. Yahweh says they're going to beat their weapons of war into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Now, that's what Yahweh says, but now we see discussions of, they're saying we need to arm our teachers. And you're going to see where there's states that are literally arming the teachers. But when they ask the teacher, what's your greatest fear? Shooting a student. Actually shooting a student because you have people running everywhere. And imagine the heart rate. Imagine what's going on if that was to take place and then students start getting shot. Well, you can never arm somebody with a bigger gun. We see that. There was a town hall debate, and I only have a small clip because there was so much disrespect involved in that debate that took place in Florida. There'll never be a solution where there's disrespect because respect is the foundation of all positive communication. Praise God. But there's one spot that we cut out because a young man who says that someone came into my school and shot up my school with an assault rifle, and he's talking to Senator Rubio, who we've met with a few times, and he says, I want my friend to stand up out here. Can you guarantee him he will be alive long enough to join our armed services? Now think about this. He's saying that someone came in with an assault rifle to shoot up the school, but now is he going to live long enough to be sent to a country so he can have an assault rifle and go shoot up a country? You know, this is mass confusion. There's no solutions in this. And then, of course, you have a leader of the organization that they'll mention themselves. She talks about how they glorify these mass shootings on the news because of ratings. And I don't doubt that. I'm sure anything that brings forth ratings is always put up in front of the TV. And then you see President Trump this week. You see this glimmer of hope all the time with politicians. And he said video games and violent movies could be a major cause in what's taking place. And that's true. It is a major cause. It's an influence. And then it shows, and this is his speech at the CPAC agreement. He talks about the Paris Climate Agreement. And he says, you know, it sounds so great. It has such a wonderful title. It sounds like something we should do. But that agreement, they want to take away our wealth and hurt your way of living. And then he says, our wealth is our oil. And think of hurt not the oil and the wine, because, you know, he is wanting nothing to do with the Paris Agreement. The United States pulling out. He talks a little bit about it. And then he talks a little bit about our military and how we have to build it up. We have to keep it strong so you can have a great way of living. We have to keep everybody else underneath our thumb. Of course, the second beast ruling as the first beast. But then he also makes the comment that if people treat us well, we'll treat them well. If people do us wrong, we'll do them very wrong. Now that's that tit for tat. That's against the peaceful solution. There'll never be peace with that attitude. But also think of what we see taking place with Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, and also President Trump. Two people who are kind of outside the box of this two-state solution and what they've done with recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Don't think it's ironic. Remember who rules the kings of the earth. It's not ironic that President Trump's administration is under investigation. People are turning over. They're doing plea agreements in that administration. And now, this last week, you have people in Benjamin Netanyahu's administration who are now turning over. Both of these men could very easily be removed from office. And if you don't believe it, go back and read about Ehud Olmert. He was removed from office. Go back and read about Richard Nixon. He was removed from office. Now, others were removed from office, like Muammar Gaddafi, Saddam Hussein, in a very violent way. But it's either you agree with this beast or they have the power to remove you, as Malachi Martin says. Keeping all of this in mind, also remember this last week, Mahmoud Abbas was at the UN. Remember who rules the UN? The kings of the earth all come before that organization. Mahmoud Abbas hadn't been there in 10 years. He's calling for a new mediator in the peaceful, or not the peaceful solution, but in the two-state solution. He's calling for a new mediator. Don't forget what President Erdogan said and what the Pope said when Turkey met with the Vatican. Pope Francis wants to be the mediator. Well, remember, who recognized Palestine as a state first? It was the Vatican City, and they put the embassy there for Palestine. They're calling for a new mediator, and of course, the Vatican wants to swoop in and bring the peace. Well, as Pastor said many years ago, they're causing all the hell, so they should be able to stop a little bit of it, because they're the source behind it. And then, of course, we have North Korea. As soon as these Olympics are over, they're going to put more sanctions. And once again, you hear the same thing, largest sanctions ever being put on North Korea. With all of that taking place, you have Iran, who says that if you're going to cut off our money, remember the nuclear treaty agreement in 2015, it was said that Iran would get money if they would not do this, and if they comply with this, they would get money. And it's billions of dollars that are frozen. Well, the United States, by not certifying that agreement, freezes the money. And Iran says, if you don't give us our money, we're going to act. This is an act of war. And one thing that we see in all of these things were taking place, whether they're conspiracy theory or whether they're actually taking place, the soul that sins, it will die. And man lives not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. Now in Revelation 22:16, Yahshua says, I have sent my Malak to testify of these things. The mouth of Yahweh is truly the one sent in these last days, and we know there's no conspiracy from there, nothing but truth and life. At this time, if we could please go ahead and play the news. I would like to introduce what is called the mouth of Yahweh, the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Oh, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. Let's go. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I don't know if the audience can see all of this, but we have a crowd here today. And of course, you're welcome to come and join us anytime you get ready, anytime Yahweh gets you ready. The news is great. Yedidius sent you all a greeting. Article is about Turkey's president is on his way to Italy to meet Pope Francis. Of course, this has already taken place. And Yedidia's note to all of you is to read the Mark of the Beast. He says, great points on this is shown in the Mark of the Beast. He said, the meeting, the Temple Mount, is the main issue of this meeting, the seven-year peace plan. This was only brought forth by the House of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. The Iranians are threatening Israel. Now, this war in the Middle East, I brought a lot of this information out. If you get time, you really need to get that Book of Israel and read up on that, because the prophecies that are taking place, like Yedidia showed here, the seven-year peace plan, the last 3.5 years is what all this prophecy is about, and that's what's shown in your scriptures, that the witness would be teaching at this time. When I was asked about the end, and that was the very words, the 3.5 years. An Iranian leader issued a warning on Monday that it would answer any unwise moves against them, that is Israel, from Israel with crushing force. The comment comes as tensions between the arch rival nations continue to ratchet up over the issue of Iranian military presence in Israel's neighboring nation of Syria. Syria and Damascus. Both of those is the prophecies brought out what is going to take place there in the series, the war in the Middle East. About Netanyahu's unwise words, he says, I should say that if they carry out the slightest unwise move against Iran, we will level Tel Aviv to the ground, he said. Will not give any opportunity for Netanyahu to flee. Hateful words coming from the leaders of our country. No peaceful solutions, no solutions at all, but the Pope is fixing to come up with one. He's making some moves right now that it's going to, he's going to try to bring glory, hoping to stop losing members. The Vatican is worried because the Muslims are growing faster than they are. World War III, Lebanon now, threatens all-out war with Israel at any cost in shock warning. Scientists, this is really great here. Scientists just made a sheep-human hybrid. Here's what you need to know. With that end goal in mind, scientists have created the first interspecies sheep-human chimera, introducing human stem cells into sheep embryos, resulting in a hybrid creature that's more than 99% sheep, but also a tiny little bit like you and me. Boy, we really made it, people. I mean, we really got it. Well, It makes you want to ask, you know, which hen they got that stem off of. Hey, you're a little bit rank there. Whoo! Wow. Kind of step back a little, huh? And get downwind of me a little. Whoo! Get back a little more. It's getting in my sinus. This is the kind of stuff we're seeing in Washington and all of these political meetings. You know, it's just about that senseless. The Pope, he's involved now with a personal role in new Vatican financial scandal. And he's the one that's going to come up with peace. That is, the Vatican is going to tell him what to say. This week, Yisrael Hawkins connects historical and spiritual facts to trace lineage of modern religion in Weekly Post. That's making quite a showing. 69,000 grabbed it already, and it's climbing pretty rapidly. The Facebook is what is really exciting too. Over 2,700 views in last Sabbath service Facebook. 2,700 views on that Facebook, and I think you can pull that up later if you want to and watch it. Herman Lacento, I love Yisrael Hawkins, greatest teacher of peace in the world. Let's see. Forgot who this person is. Greatest teacher of peace of the world in this latest generation. Even though I am here in the Philippines, this teaching of righteousness reached me through the Prophetic Word magazine, the newsletters, cassette, tapes, sermons, tapes, booklets, books, videotapes, and so forth. Such a great work of salvation. Praise Yahweh. Such a great work of salvation for this troublous time. And I praise Yahweh for this through Yeshua Messiah, the high priest over the house of Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. This one, the Facebook, stats for last week's services. Notice the 7.7K thousand views on 217. That's three sevens. Also, the stats show this live video was very popular in Texas. I suspect that's one of the transfers that I don't know if he got to that part, if the great Benjamin got to that part or not, but the great transfers of land that'll be coming to the house of Yahweh. But it's most popular here in Texas. Most people in Abilene would have been in the sanctuary, so this has to be many more outside of Abilene watching live. The press release was popular today in Houston, Texas. That's just a hop, skip, and a jump from Abilene. In fact, we have people that drive up on the sixth day and to be in services here on the Sabbath, and I think they go back then on the first day, some of them. The House of Yahweh calendar has been posted online. Praise Yahweh. And many of you have questions regarding how to read it and line it up with feast dates and so forth. It will, you know, the young people, get your children to teach you this. I was talking to the deacon, Shlomo, yesterday, and I said, well, what is the date? And he just spit it out, just like it was easy, you know. and I was struggling with it myself, but the young people are catching on this really easy if they just get the God's names out of their mouth. But your children can help you. You know, you think you can't change, but you can. You can teach an old dog new tricks. And we're going to. It will make much more sense once the green ears of barley is sighted, which we expect to take place this coming next moon. That'll be 3/18 on the worldly calendar. That's the first day. That's the first day at sunset. If I think that's right. This coming new moon. That's the first day at sunset. In 3/18, we will then watch for the new moon, and once that is sighted, that will be the first moon of the year, and the rest will fall into place. The next feast is scheduled for 3/31/18. Now that's a worldly calendar through 4/8. Through 4/8/2018, all depending on the sighting of the green ears of barley and the first new moon. We will make an announcement when both have been sighted. We will continue to help you understand all of this important changes, and remember to always ask it able to receive an answer. Praise Yahweh. the calendar, the Greco-Roman gods, this is from Google. Anyone can pull this up, but I guess I can't because I don't operate computers. But we can get you a copy of it. But the Greco-Roman calendar and other gods named for the days of the week and months of the year, the Romans, that's the Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican, meaning the Vatican, its meaning is divining serpent. Look it up. You can Google that too, the word Vatican, the divining serpent. The Romans, Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican, the Pope, their mouthpiece, preferred to adopt everyone's gods. Do you get that? Now, when I told you, you know, that universal, Catholic means universal. That is, in God worship, they worship all gods. And this is what it says here also. They preferred to adopt everyone's gods. Just come and join us. We'll adopt your gods and your way of worship into our Catholic religion of worshiping all gods. And building temples. They were also building them temples, each one, as they had adopted the Greek gods, giving them Latin names. Zeus that's the king of gods, became Jupiter. I'm pronouncing these so I can teach you what they have done here, because they've got everyone to worshiping gods and they don't even know it. But Poseidon, king of the sea, became Neptune. Ares, god of war, regarded as the father of the Roman people because he was the father of Romulus, co-founder of Rome, 850 B.C. I've found it as far back as 750, which I want to show you some things in Scripture that, but they're saying here 850 B.Y., that's before Yahshua, with Rumus, became Mars. Apollo, messenger of gods, became Mercury. Aphrodite, goddess of love, became Venus. The gods' names for days of the week, the following days, Sunday, day of the sun. That's the day of the sun god Baal. Baal Lord, as Jeremiah spoke of in Jeremiah 23, in verse 26, I believe, he said, "You've caused my people to forget my name for Baal Lord." Sunday instead of the Sabbath day. Sunday, day of the sun. Monday, day of the moon. Now, these are moon gods, sun gods, moon god. Tuesday, T-Y-R, or T-I-W, was the Norse god of war, also known as Martus Romus, Roman god of war. Wednesday is Mercury, the messenger of God, also known as the Norse god Odin, O-D-I-N, and Woden, or Wonton, to the Germanic tribes. Thursday, the god Thor was the Norse god of thunder, and Jupiter also chief of the gods. Friday Freya, F-R-I-A, Norse god, in this case a goddess. She was believed to be the wife of Odin and was the goddess of marriage and the hearth. The Romans had named this day for Venus, their goddess of beauty. Saturday, which should be Sabbath day, seventh day or Sabbath day, became Saturn, Roman god of time and harvest. So you can see here how they've switched this. This calendar is a must for the people who want salvation. It's a must, and they didn't just take these names, didn't just give these names to these weekdays, as giving them a name. That wasn't what was behind it, but to take the authority away from Yahweh, to take the name totally out of your minds, cause you to forget the name Yahweh. Keep in mind that what we're reading now from the book of Yahweh, the versions of the book of Yahweh, which is the King James versions that came out in 1611. Now, from 70 A.Y., 70 years after Yahshua, till 1611, that's about 1,500 years that the book of Yahweh was taken away from the people. Yahweh brought it back for his house because the prophecy said, in the last days, I will establish my house. Well, he had to have the book of Yahweh there because it's commanded to search the scriptures. Go to the place where Yahweh says to go. The only place you can find it is in scripture. Yeshua said, search the scripture, and they speak of me. The scriptures speak of me. So after 1,500 years, the Roman Catholic Church was finally forced to issue versions of the book of Yahweh, such as the King James Version. That's what I was raised on from as early as I can remember. Well, in taking away these names, you can see that this took years to do. And it was a great scheme of Satan. It didn't just say, well, let's just take it out of their mind and zap, it's gone. This took years of planning and then bringing it about by one generation after another. To take away the authority of Yahweh, giving honor to the gods instead of Yahweh. In the very book that was inspired by Yahweh, he inspired his prophets to write it, here a little and there a little, so we would have this in writing, his contract with us in these last days, to offer salvation again, salvation that was cut off in Genesis 3 and 4. Cut off from mankind. But in the last days, I will establish my house. My way will be taught to all nations, and they will learn war no more. This authority, if you turn over to 1 Yochanan 2:22, 1 Yochanan 2:22, the apostles talked about this. In fact, the prophets, if I can get time to bring it, the prophets warned of this and showed how it was already in action back in their days when they were writing. In 1 Yochanan 2, 1 Yochanan 2:22. Who is the liar? Well, you remember 2:4 says, he that says, I know him and keeps not his laws or his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So you have 4,199 religions out there, and the preachers are all liars. All of them. Scripturally liars. They say they know him. They don't keep his commandments. So they're liars. 4,199 religions, and they're all lying. That's what Jeremiah said. Said you're going to see that you have inherited nothing but lies. Then Revelations 12:9, Satan deceives the whole world. The whole world. 1,500 years in taking away the book of Yahweh and deceiving the whole world. The calendar was their last step to making everyone on earth use the English language and follow this almost perfect calendar that the Vatican put out, and then placed a curse on anyone. The Pope placed a curse on anyone that would change that. That curse, according to Yahweh, is eternal life for you. He thinks you're cursed because you can't be a Catholic. You can't be a universal God worshiper. Well, who is a liar but he who denies that Yeshua is the Messiah? He is an anti-Messiah who denies the Father and the Son. Verse 23, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. Does not have the Father either. Look at 2 Timothy 2 Timothy that makes this also clearer here. 2 Timothy 3. In verse 5, having a form of holiness, this is the liars who are bringing forth lies because they won't keep the laws, won't teach the laws of Yahweh. So they're bringing forth the God worship, the lies, the liars, as they're called, having a form of godliness, of holiness, but denying the authority. Denying the authority of Yahweh. From such, he says, turn away. Sunday, this honor of the sun god Baal, December the 25th, is the birthday of the sun god Baal, meaning he has a beginning. He's not Yahweh. He had a beginning. December 25th was his birthday. Any encyclopedia will tell you that. In fact, I used to sell the Compton's Encyclopedia along with the Hertel Blue Ribbon Bible, and I always had a little tag on on the ones when I delivered it where I could turn to it and show them about Christmas, because Christmas is not the birthday of Yahshua. This is a great deception. Remember, she has the whole world deceived. I don't know if there's a nation on earth today doesn't celebrate Christmas, doesn't follow the world calendar, the Roman calendar. But December the 25th is the, let's be turning over to Jeremiah 23. December the 25th, any encyclopedia, I think, would show you that, but December the 25th was chosen as the Savior's birthday. Yahshua is not their Savior that they're talking about. The sun god is also considered their Savior. The sun god Baal, Lord. Lord. Lord is not a divine title. Unger's Bible Dictionary will tell you that. It's not a divine title, and Unger's Bible Dictionary will tell you it never should have been used to replace the Creator's name. It should have been retained. That name Yahweh should have been retained, it says. Well, here in Jeremiah now, 23, and verse 13, he said, I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied by Baal Lord and caused my people Israel to err, go astray. Look on down to verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, Yahweh says, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words. Now, if you remember, that's what in the last days, Yahweh said, I will establish my house and it will teach my ways. Cause the people to hear his words, then they would have turned them from the evil. Evil, remember that word. And always refer it back to Genesis 3:5. This is where the God worship first started. Genesis 3:5, Satan says to Yahweh's creation, don't be righteous like Yahweh, be evil like the gods. That's not a joke. It's in every version. Be evil like the gods. Well, they took her up on that. And 4,199 religions in this generation are evil like the gods. Evil. Just like Genesis 3:5 said. If you'd have taught the truth, if you repent now and start teaching the truth, Yes, you'll have people walk out on you, but you've saved your own life, as Yahweh told Yekiska. Come on to the house of Yahweh. That's what Yahweh tells you to do. Then they would have turned them from the evil way and from the evil of their doings. Well, this calendar is part of that. This shows those who use these names, Lord, use the name Lord, or the names of these gods who are calling on them each day of the week. You turn the news on the sixth day, and they'll say Happy Friday to you. Well, they're addressing two gods right there, the god Help and the other I just read you about. So Lord, this verse 22 there, Yeremia 23:22, shows those who use this name, Lord, they teach evil, like the gods. And then in chapter 23 and verse 26, here's their plan. Now this is a prophecy here that's been carried out with this calendar. Look 23 and verse 26. Yeremia 23:26. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? You get that? Deceit of their own minds. They're liars. They prophesy deceit of their own minds. How long are you going to continue in these lies? Who devise, who scheme to cause my people to forget my name? Forget the name of Yahweh. This is the scheme, the long-range plan of Satan and her evil gods. Through their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers, the fathers of these people, were the ones that Moshe brought out of Egypt. For a short time, then they turned back to Egypt, Egyptian, Coptic Catholic. And 1 Samuel 8, 6 through 8, shows they never left. They never repented of the Coptic Catholic religion. Well, they forget his name, they replace it. This is this long-range scheme that they had in using this calendar. Get that part that shows you Yahweh's name would be forgotten, the cause. It's a scheme to cause his people to forget the name, of course, and what occurred to those people went out to all the world, as Yeremia also showed in verses 14 and 15. We would all be like Sodom and Gomorrah. We would all be Sodomites. They're really pushing sodomy throughout the whole world. And Yeremia said if a remnant had not been held back or kept out of this by knowledge and understanding, that's how Yahweh gave them knowledge and understanding, and once they had it, once he revealed it to them. You remember there were some manuscripts that made copies of the original prophets' writings and of the apostles' writings. All of it, the Roman Catholic Church, Vatican, Pope, I don't want to leave any of it out. They were all responsible for this, whose name was Yada in Genesis 49. Genesis 49 in last days. We're in last days when the book of Yahweh is finally given back to us to have this information. Well, a little of that information, not enough for salvation, but a little of that information was hidden in manuscripts here and there. Remember the Dead Sea Scrolls? It was just found in this generation. I saw those. That is, I saw a copy. I saw one original. They had it under glass. I couldn't examine it, but we went through, is rolled up, and you could go and you could plainly see the name Yahweh in Hebrew. And we picked it out and marveled over it because it's in a museum in 1982. Well, that all came to light. You know how many years they've had that now? You know who has control of it? Why haven't we gotten some translations? The Roman Catholic Church has it, has control of it. And they're fighting to try to, they took the priest out off of it, but they wouldn't leave. They took it away from them. That is, they took their authority away, but the priest wouldn't leave. They just stayed and kept the Dead Sea Scrolls. This has been going on for years. But these are fragments that got out to the people. And if Yahweh hadn't have saved a remnant through these fragments that got to the people, the name Yahweh would have never been spoken in Oklahoma. It was from the fragments that these people got, because the Catholic Church went to extremes to get all of this gathered up. And when the apostles died, they put it in a vault. They got their writings. They put them in with the book of Yahweh in a vault. And they were not let loose until Yahweh caused it to be in this generation. Yes. That's a marvelous thing. Well, Jeremiah 27 was written now in 599 to 600. 599 to 600. You should write that down by the number there if you don't have a book of Yahweh with the dates that took place in it. Write it down, 599 to 600 BY. They started building their army. I have records, other records, other than what we saw on Google today, of this being in 750 BY. In the time of Jeremiah's prophecy, Jeremiah and Isaiah's prophecy. Isaiah, if you'll turn to Isaiah now, with that in mind, Isaiah was written, I think I said Jeremiah, but Isaiah 1:1 was written in 760. 1:1, Isaiah 760. Yeah, I did have it right. It's Jeremiah that was 599. Isaiah 1:1. It's important that you understand this now, so get me your undivided attention. If you don't, you won't understand the whole sermon. Isaiah. And remember this scheme, this religion and its scheme with the gods and Satan. They belong to Satan. If you don't believe that, you don't believe even the King James Version. if you got a King James Version and you go to 1 John 3, 4, 7, and 8, and 10, you'll see that if you don't keep the commandments, you belong to Satan the devil. It says the same thing in Romans 6:16. Well, here Isaiah now, in the time, remember, whether it's 750 or 850, this was taking place in Isaiah's time, and Isaiah, one of the prophets of Yahweh, was sent to warn them. Isaiah 1:1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Yada. Yada. Well, where would he have got that? From Genesis 49. Genesis 49. Isaiah is telling you things that's going to take place in your time period. If you look at 2:2 right there, you'll see the house of Yahweh was going to be established. That prophecy came out from Isaiah in the very second chapter. But here, when he's warning these people, he was writing this for us. Isaiah 1:1. The vision, Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Yada and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, king of Yada. Hear, O heaven. Now that should remind you when you see that right there of Deuteronomy 30. I call heaven and earth to witness this. Because they're on trial. Yahweh is proving a point. He said, since they didn't want to retain Yahweh in their knowledge, he gave them up to a reprobate mind, and eventually they couldn't even count to three. To a reprobate mind. That is what the world has right now. The back end of it stinks. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For this is what Yahweh has spoken. I have nourished and brought up my children, and they have rebelled against me. Now, whether that's speaking of Eob, spoke of his original children, or from the children he brought out of the land of Egypt. They went as his original sons did. What he's trying to show to heaven and earth is they won't make it into the kingdom that he says is going to be given authority over the heavens. That's you. The ones who submit to this authority and base their lives on his righteousness, practice his righteousness, are the only ones that's going to be given authority. And he's calling again, Isaiah is, the same thing that Deuteronomy 30 showed. He's calling this to the attention of the heavens, the courts in heaven, of which Satan was present and sat in the witnessing chair and was shown to us in Eob's time. This is a court. Yahweh sits in the courts in the council of the gods. That was a trial that I brought you, showed you in the book of Eob. A trial was going on. Satan was there on the witness stand. Her sons was also called. We don't have the full trial or how long it lasted or anything like that. When Yahweh said to Satan, have you considered, now her sitting on a witness stand, and Yahweh says, have you considered my servant Eob? Well, he wanted heaven to know. Well, what else? Why? What else is wrong that you wouldn't accept the righteousness of this man receiving authority from Yahweh? Receiving authority from Yahweh, Genesis 1:26. So what else would be wrong with you refusing this man's rulership? And rulership and teaching to bring forth peace to the heavens. I call heaven and earth to witness it. So this was going on, and Satan says, oh yeah, but he's doing it for reward. And then Yahweh proved that he was true and worthy. And Satan, of course, has proved she is unworthy and is cast down. And her sons, of course, their power is limited to nothing. It's taken away. They don't even make a different lawyer anymore. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Now, get this. He's speaking of you next here. If you associate this with what you already know about donkeys, and Genesis again, 49, verse 10 and 11. Thither tie the donkeys to the Savior, and tie the other donkeys to the branch. Now read what it says. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey knows its owner's crib, that is the house of Yahweh. But Israel, this whole bunch that I brought out of the land of Egypt, is being rejected for this purpose. They won't be your rulers. Eob will be your rulers. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be your rulers. But the bunch that came out of this all God worship that never came out, they won't be your rulers. That was in this trial that went on in heaven. So the donkeys, they know. The donkeys are loyal, they know. My people, though, this people that I brought up out of the land of Egypt, they will not be there. We're in Isaiah 1:1-4. Oh, sinful nation. Well, here we see the sins again that causes them and shows who to whom they belong. This Satan led to be like evil gods nation. That's what he's saying here. They belong to Satan. Satan was on trial. Satan was on the jury. Satan was on witness. She saw this whole thing take place. She went through this trial. The sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, the seed of those who follow evil like the gods. Genesis 3:5. Children who are corruptors, these are children of corruptors. They have forsaken Yahweh. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. That is not true. You can't provoke Yahweh to anger. I don't know if that's on David's list to bring out, but it is now. They have gone away backward. They have gone backwards, not forward. Look down to verse 9. If Yahweh of hosts had not left us with a very small remnant, we would all have been like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah. We would have been a bunch of Sodomites who sits on seven hills. We would have been one of them. If Yahweh had not given fractions or fragments or scrolls or a scroll or a piece of a scroll, but where these people got these things, they carried them with them, even to the caves, caves in Oklahoma, where the name Yah was written there. Maybe the rest of it got broken off, but enough got there to where the people were using it in songs and in teaching. The so-called American Indians, the natives of this land right here, many of them being your kinfolks, your forefathers who were fleeing for their life because they were out to kill them. Just like Hitler killed 6 million of them, like Titus killed, I think, a lot more than 3 million in 70 AY, the butchering went on and on and on, and they have records of it. And arenas were made, and they threw them in the dens of pits of lions. This went on in Daniel's time. The same group of people that Isaiah spoke of was spoken of in Daniel 2. And it's still going on today. This turkey. Don't know if I read that to you, but there are about 1.7 billion, 1.7 billion Muslims under their control now. The president of Turkey. Now, they're reasoning with or joining with the Vatican to come against people that the Vatican don't want, to bring about something in Israel, as Yedidia pointed out, which you can get in the Mark of the Beast. Everybody should read that Mark of the Beast. It's the first message that the house of Yahweh sent out to the world. Well, in this thing here with I believe it's 1.7 billion Muslims. And the president of Turkey is over that organization right now. So it's only natural they're trying to use Turkey to help do their bidding with the Palestinians and with the Muslims without having an all-out war and the Muslim taking up arms and start slaying in every house in the world, which they could do. You know, every man's hand against that of his neighbor. You know, these are not just words, cute-sounding words. They're prophecies. Hand-to-hand combat would not, you know, would not be out of the question. Here we're in Isaiah now, 1 and verse 9. Look at verse 15. So when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my face. This is what he's saying to the courts in heaven. Listen, O heavens, that first verse there, second verse. Hear, O heavens, this is what we're saying to you. The prophet of Yahweh, Isaiah, is saying to the heaven, so when this people spread forth their hands, I will hide my face from you. Yes, even though you make many prayers, I will not listen, for your hands are full of blood. Same as Cain. You've all gone the way of Cain. Wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of the gods. Put away the gods and the god worship. Did you get that? Put away the evil. When you put away the evil, you have to put away the gods. The gods are evil. Satan got you to following gods to begin with. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil like the gods. Evil like the gods. Learn to do righteousness. That is, start practicing righteousness. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says Yahweh. Though your sins be like scarlet, that they will be as white as snow, and though they are red like crimson, they will be as wool. if you will be willing and obedient, well, there's the thing that will set you on the right track. If you're obedient, if you will be willing to do this, and obedient to the priest that Yahweh sends you to, seek first, Yeshua said, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness. Go to that place, go to the habitation that Yahweh prophesies would be in the last days, right there in verse chapter 2, verse 2, Isaiah. Go to the place where he chooses and start practicing what the priest tells you to practice. If you will be willing and obedient, you will eat the fruit of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, now, he's not talking about eating an apple off a tree here now. He's talking about eating the teaching, this book right here. As I ate from a child up, as prophesied in Revelations. Eat it. It'll be bitter. But the end results is sweet. If you're willing, if you're obedient, it'll be bitter for a while. But the end result is going to be everlasting life. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, that is, with war. And of course, he's speaking of the last days burning here, as he gives in Isaiah, the last, very last chapter, 66. The great burning that takes place in 1 hour is shown in Revelations 18. For the mouth of Yahweh has spoken. How has the fateful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment and righteousness lodged in it, but now only murders. That's what's taking place all over the world right now. The amount of abortions. You know, they refuse to put this in their count. The amount of abortions. The amount of births and the amount of deaths are... the amount of births is less now than the amount of deaths in the world. But they leave out the abortions. The billions. That are being murdered. Your silver has become dross. Your wine is mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious in the companies of thieves. Everyone loves gifts and follows after rewards. Well, you see this in the dealing of the nations here. It's what can I get out of it? And of course, as Trump pretty well expressed the feelings of America in his speech there today, that we are totally down on everyone who is that won't work with us, and we will help those who do work with us. The scripture put it another way: in the last days, men will be lovers of their own selves more than lovers of Yahweh. We didn't get very far here. If I could, Isaiah started his prophecy writing in 760 BY. His last chapter was written in 698. You might say 700, but it's 698. It took him 62 years of preaching and writing to write this book for you. 66 chapters, 62 years. He was about 21 years old when he started writing and was sent to preach. I remember when I was 21. I wanted to tell you this. I remember when I was 21 and Yahweh put me to preaching. And I brought the sermons in the college And then Jacob and I, we contacted every church in that area, and we said, put our names in your hat for guest speakers. We're from certain college, and we'd like to come and teach in your church. And we were overwhelmed with with letters, and we went out to preach every weekend when classes were out. Well, we were out teaching. We have gotten from our from this first work, we have gotten letters later saying, "Are you the two brothers that was in college here and came to our church to teach?" And Jacob followed up on them, and I never did, but he did, and wrote them letters for quite some time teaching them. But I remember, and my age and my, now, of course, I'm going to outdo Isaiah. Isaiah quit at 62 there. He was 80-something when he quit. Actually, he was murdered. They sought him in too. He would have probably still been preaching if they hadn't. If he had lived, he'd have still been preaching. But they put him in a hollow log and sawed the log in two. And that ended his career. But he got exactly what Yahweh wanted him to get. And that was the thankfulness of this Coptic Catholics, who were then called themselves the elders of Israel, the heads of Jacob, then Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, and then they moved to Rome, where they called themselves Catholic again, but now they're Romulus liars, all liars, and bringing forth lies to the people and all of those who are following these lies, using their calendars, which is spread all over the world. It's a must, brethren, that we get this out of our vocabulary. Work hard to do so. I love you. May Yahweh bless you. I'll turn the services back to the next leader.